This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Kuzu Chuang and Wang Xiaoning. It is 6 o'clock in the morning, Thursday the 30th of January, and we're heading into the end of another week. How are you this morning, Chuang? Actually, we haven't had you in studios in a while.
Yeah, I've been away in Penang for Chinese New Year. I just got back a couple of days ago, and it's a bit of a culture shock because you can get used to being away from work, actually, easily.
I'm sure. Doing nothing is a joy, right?
I know, right?
But I'm sure you're not doing nothing. You're probably super busy.
Yeah, like doing stuff, running around, family business, you know, open houses and, you know, doling out ang paos, for example.
Yes, thank you very much, Koh Soo Chuan.
Yes, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a very nice red packets. Very, very opulent this year, the red packets. Did you all notice?
Yes, there have been some really beautiful ones.
Yeah, from gorgeous.
The banks have outdone themselves this year, I think, in terms of the ang pao packets.
You know, speaking of which, right?
Banks, it's the FMCGs, everybody. Everybody's got different ones.
Did you guys know that on auction sites and eBay and things like Mura and all that, they actually go for value?
Yes.
Did you know that? I didn't know that. No, it's a real thing.
It's collectibles.
They are. And actually, I got one ang pao packet this year that is actually a cloth packet, and it's an embroidered cloth packet. I know, it's so fancy. And it's one of those things that you can't quite throw away because it's given to you. It's a British India ang pao packet.
Whoosh.
It's given to you if you buy a certain amount, but if you don't buy it, if you just want to buy it, it retails for over 100 ringgit a packet.
Oh, yo.
A packet.
So the packet costs more than the cost.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Imagine you get that packet and you give it like $5, right?
No, but I ask you all, do you notice there's no inflation in Ang Pao land?
That's right. That's the other thing, right?
Yeah, there's no inflation. This is the only part of your life where the inflation has not touched.
The Big Mac Index doesn't apply.
It doesn't go up. It's like if they give you $10 $10.
Yeah, la, but how can you, right?
Yeah, it's very sweet. I mean, it's a gesture, but I just noticed that. That's the observation I have of Chinese New Year.
You see, as a giver, not a givee, I would actually accept the fact that inflation doesn't apply in Ang Pao land.
Works to your advantage, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
All right, this morning we do have a number of things lined up, though, to talk to you about to keep you company on your daily drive to work. So what is on the agenda?
Well, you know, most of us dream of, like, you know, working from home, and it has become more common. But I'm going to ask whether it'll be the norm in the new decade.
Okay, I've got a story on how, you know, at one point in time, you played pranks on people, right? But now if you play those pranks with a real disease on WhatsApp or Facebook, you will get in trouble with the police.
All right, and if you want to weigh in on those conversations, you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. First up, though, we're going to be talking about the bane of every Malaysian's existence, which is traffic jams, because apparently mathematicians have solved them. So stay tuned for that conversation after this, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was You Can Talk to Me by the Seahorses, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Chuang and Xiaoning. Now, traffic jams are the bane of everyone's existence, particularly if you live or work in the vicinity of the Klang Valley. But it appears that there is finally, a solution to them.
And even if the problem is in Kuala Lumpur?
Even if the problem is
especially
in Kuala Lumpur,
especially if the problem is in Kuala Lumpur.
So the solution was chanced upon by, or put forward by a group of not engineers, but rather mathematicians, who made a few proposals to say that, okay, if you want to actually have a city that runs without traffic jams, then you need a few things, right? And one of those things is that all the drivers need to be on the same navigation system so that if you want to reroute people let's say you have roadworks in one section of the city, it is much easier to reroute everyone around it and avoid the traffic jam that would naturally result from the road construction.
Aren't we already on it? It's called Waze, right?
There's a few. There's a few. There's offline.me. There's also Google Maps, right?
Okay, so there lies the problem. Everybody needs to stick to one navigation system, right? And not use multiple.
No, the solution is just to get those cars off the road. That's the solution. Have congestion taxes, right? Have vehicle limitations for families within urban centres. And have much more better public transport.
Yeah, I mean, there's no one solution. It's a combination
of things,
right?
It's a combination of them all, right?
But and I don't know, does this maths thing really work?
I think so, for sure. I mean, look, no more luminous a mind than Elon Musk has applied himself to traffic problems in California, right? His solution to California's traffic problems, LA specifically, is to go underground. Because underground, there's no limitation to space, right? You can go as far down into the Earth's core as you like.
Yeah, there's only money, which is the limit.
Yeah.
But that would apply above the sky also, right?
Above the sky, then you've got issues, right, with things like safety and da-da-da, right, and regulations.
I mean, technically going underground, you do have the same kind of safety issues too, right? Because you don't want to, say, cause a sinkhole that's going to impact...
But that's a different kind of problem, you see. It's more like an geoengineering. See, I know these things. I've been reading about it. That's why I told my son to go and do mathematics. Because, the geeks have inherited the Earth.
No, I think, you know what? The money is to be made writing those algorithms.
Yeah, lah. So the real people ruling the world is not Donald Trump or
No, it's the people
Bojo.
Who write the algorithms.
Yeah, the thinker guys.
Because
the
algos are in everything, including traffic jams. The solution to traffic jams, right?
You know those autofills on Google search engines, right? That's all premeditated. I'm telling you, seriously.
Yeah, I guess when it comes to this idea of putting everyone on the same navigation system, to a certain extent, Channing, I think you're right. Because quite a number of people already use Waze in the Klang Valley.
Yeah, and, or Google Maps are one of
them.
Or Google Maps. And you see it because, say you're in a traffic jam and your Waze tells you, okay, reroute onto this tiny little, you know, bylane that is supposed to be a two-way street, but realistically it only fits one car. And you see that you're not actually the only one moving down it. You've got a little ant trail of cars moving down, right? And these are all people who've probably been rerouted by Waze. So it has really permeated our society to quite a significant extent. So I think that would not be such a difficult ask, but particularly here in Kuala Lumpur, right, in the Klang Valley, the other ask that these mathematicians are proposing is making things like green lanes and instituting parking bans. Now, parking bans are a great idea, I think, in theory. In practice, I don't think we've ever really managed to get people to park responsibly in the Klang Valley.
All I would ask for is for those people who double park to stop doing it. Because if you ask me, that is really a huge problem.
Yeah.
All right. And we have a lot of inconsiderate people who, okay, double park, not my favorite thing you can do, but double park with no notice in their car, how to find them.
And then they just disappear for 1 hour.
They just disappear. Yeah. They don't leave a note. You can't find them. You don't know where they are. And then you're stuck.
Yeah.
And actually, this double parking causes congestion, right? Because people have to go around the car. And then, you know, there's kind of a disruption to the traffic flow.
It's a lot, nah. It's a lot of issues.
And it's irritating because sometimes there is parking available, but because we are lazy, we don't want to walk or we don't want to pay, that's another thing.
And it's dangerous because, say, you have an emergency and you need to get out fast. Even that 15-minute wait for whoever it was that double parked their car behind yours to come back and move their car, that could really jeopardize the rest of your day. And I've been late for multiple appointments, some of them reasonably important, because I got stuck behind someone and I was standing there with my hand on the horn for half an hour.
Well, why don't world leaders apply their considerable resources to solving traffic problems and not to get boiled down with small petty issues?
I think sometimes what they prefer to do is just build more roads,
which is what they're trying to do in Penang, and it's ludicrous. It's the worst idea possible.
Which then leads to even more congestion at the end of the day and just encourages more driving.
Well, do let us know what you think. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Tell us what you think. Would building more roads just increase congestion? After this, we'll be coming back with taking a look at how 5G is reinventing how we work. So be sure to stay tuned to BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Rosanna by Toto, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Chuang and Xiaoning. Now, we all know that Kusu Chuang would love to just work from his couch every single day with no need to actually see the rest of us, right, Xiaoning?
I think you've already made a mistake there, Lin. It's not work.
Did you guys know that work is a four-letter word that ends with K? It does, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
just like other words.
Yes, thanks for your very keen observation on life.
We have no idea what you're talking about, incidentally. So, but perhaps with the advent of 5G technology, Ku Su Chuang and other people will also be able to do this.
Yeah. Well, actually, I do it now, you know.
But you'll be able to do it better. It'll be reinvented. Yeah, Working from home will be an entirely different animal.
Okay, you guys might disbelieve this, right? But I actually am a big, I'm a reluctant
adopter of technology
because I think there's a lot of stuff that we don't realize about it yet. We've taken to it en masse, but we haven't really realized the health significance or the health repercussions of all these energy and these waves that are basically permeating the environment. EMF waves are basically, right?
Okay.
Yeah. And 5G is considerably higher in terms of intensity.
To me, it's just working to death, you know, because you have...
Yeah,
like
you've got all these machines surrounding you.
No, that's one thing. The waves are one thing. The other thing is that if you are able to work from home...
Your personal life is over.
Yeah, that means you'll be 24 hours, 24-7. You'll be expected to be, married to the stupid computer.
Exactly.
All the time. And there's no excuse, You can't even use an excuse. I got no Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
No signal.
Yeah.
My computer died. No, none of this will apply anymore, right? Because everything in your life will be interconnected. They will know where you are, what you're doing.
Yeah,
you already cannot use the excuse of I have no Wi-Fi, I'm not connected, unless you are on holiday in Timbuktu. Okay, so this is already a problem that we're facing, and with 5G technology, the solution will be the same: time management.
No,
moral of the story is don't work lah. Just don't buy that BMW or get that bungalow. Have simple needs and be financially independent and retire early.
Well, yeah, but for some of us who do have to work, of course
you don't. Don't buy the BMW. Don't get the bungalow.
I didn't take those boxes either. Those boxes don't exist in my life. But I think what's really scary is that there will be this expectation, right? Because with the onset of 5G, it will be where the bosses or the companies will think that this is plausible, this is doable, right? And then eventually it becomes the norm. Ko Su Chuang, you and I will remember when we started work, we weren't expected to be married to the phone, right? Because in those days, people didn't even have mobile phones.
Yeah, and then literally within a couple of years, right?
It was the norm.
I was covering financial services for a long time, right? And I remember clearly a couple of incidents. Right? I went on holiday once and I was in, I think, Pontian or something. I saw this Matsali Gaila, basically, right? He was in the middle of the holiday with his kids and his wife were frolicking on the beach and all that. He was on top of a hill trying to find signal to talk to his boss. And I said, mate, what are you doing? Oh, I got a call in. This trade just went sour, blah, 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 right? And I used to know guys at JP Morgan. They had to give excuses to their boss. They had to tell the reasons why they couldn't come in on a Saturday and Sunday to work. They were literally 7/24/365.
I remember I
and
got...
And today, with 5G, forget it. You'll have no personal life.
Yeah, it will just take over completely.
Yeah, but see, the flip side of this that I am more positive on is the idea of 5G and kind of this technology adding, making available more flexibility if you are, say, a working mother, right?
Okay.
And you are able to work from home a lot easier
and faster
with 5G. And then employers may be more willing to accept that you can and will work from home if they are assured that you do have that connectivity and that availability, even if you are not physically present in the office.
I mean, that's true. The option does exist now. I mean, that option already does exist, but it will probably exist even more or be more accepted over time. But everybody has to draw boundaries then, like what you say. You have to draw boundaries in terms of how many hours you're going to work. And your bosses have to draw boundaries that we're not going to disturb this person unnecessarily. But I think we all know that doesn't really happen in working life. I remember I got my first BlackBerry. Do you remember that, guys?
Yeah. I mean, logically the best thing since sliced bread, right?
And then that was the end. That was the end of freedom.
Well, let us know what you think. Would 5G revolutionize working from home for you? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're about to head into the 6:30 news now, but first, here's What You Know by Two Door Cinema Club, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Money by The Drums, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mak, Ku Su Chuang and Wang Xiaoning. Now, the Wuhan coronavirus is something that everyone is still watching very closely indeed, and unfortunately, it has become more apparent over the past couple of days that panic buying of masks and kind of fear-driven spreading of fake information has started to really set in. And the government has tried to weigh in on this to say, please don't spread false information. Here are the portals that you can actually go to if you want to get verified information. But that doesn't always happen. People don't always verify the sources of the information that they receive before they send it out. And now there have been reports that five fake news cases on the coronavirus are currently being investigated by police. So these include rumors being spread of a Chinese tourist dying on a bus from the CIQ to KLIA, and other kind of things like that that stoke panic and fear amongst the general public.
Yeah, you know, you can imagine that these are the kind of things that you would play as pranks when you were kids. But they've got serious ramifications. And mm-hmm. a lot of people don't realize this, right? But it's a real crime and offense under the criminal penal code, right? And the relevant provision is Section 203, Subsection A. And, you know, you can get fined about $1 million, right? Or go to jail for up to a year, or both, upon conviction, if you're found guilty. And it's quite, you know, it's actually very easy to just produce one of these things because of software nowadays.
And you don't even need software. Right? Someone showed me how to do it in the office.
So easy.
And it was very scary because you're trying how you can doctor images or how you can change information.
But more importantly as well, I thought WhatsApp was fully encrypted, right? How are they going to find you on WhatsApp unless it's not really encrypted?
No, it requires reports from people within the WhatsApp groups. You need to have a mole in your group in order to be found out on WhatsApp.
So in other words, don't play those tricks anymore. Like, April the 1st may be coming, but let's just keep coronavirus out of it.
No, I mean, this is a serious matter.
It's a serious thing. Because panic, you know.
Yeah, and people are unfortunately dying, and the cases in Malaysia have kind of crept up. So there is this sense of fear. There's no requirement to add to that fear. So if you're uncertain about anything, definitely just go to the Ministry of Health website. Apparently, that's the only real legitimate information source.
So I do have some sense of sympathy because we don't know. I mean, just from the screen grabs that have been making the rounds in the news reports, we don't know whether these comments made by people on social media, whether or not they were done in a fashion meant to as a prank or in complete ignorance. You know, maybe they actually thought that this is something that is true and they're being
helpful.
They're trying to be helpful. And in that case, okay, I feel a little bit sorry for them. But it also just goes to show that even with the best of intentions, you can wind up perpetuating this false information and being party to being party to a crime, essentially. And at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what your intentions were. It just matters that you are helping to stoke this fear amongst the general public.
It's a real reservation because what happens if you get sent this, right? Or you hear something, okay? And then you want to warn other members of the public. And then you forward it or you create a message which says, I guess what I just heard, that blah, 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 right? Do you fall afoul of Section 203, Subsection A? Big question, right? Because if you want to help people, but you don't realize it's false information, then what do you do?
Or if you don't realize it's false, there's a part of them that's like maybe they don't realize it's false information. There is another section of the society that mistrusts the information that they've been given, right?
Yeah.
So when they put, you know, everyone's kind of an amateur sleuth and an armchair critic.
Well, everybody's a journalist nowadays.
Absolutely,
yeah, with
citizen
handful,
journalism.
Yeah.
So, but when you know, if they put things together and they feel like, you know, oh no, maybe there is some kind of a conspiracy at play here. They also do think they're being helpful because it stems from a mistrust of the mainstream media and a mistrust of the governmental systems. So you can't really fault them for that either.
Because I don't know whether it's also, you know, whether you have the malice aforethought, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the legal term where you do it with intention to,
Well, in criminal cases, you need two bits, right? You need the mental state and then you need the physical act, right? Yeah. The mens rea and the...
Actus reus,
that's right.
I think anything we should do before we do anything, I mean, just think about it for a second. Does it make sense? No, then don't do it, please. You know, go and check our reliable sources. Go to your Ministry of Health website. if you really want to know what the situation is like. But I just want to highlight that this is not only just a Malaysian problem, because the fake news on coronavirus is everywhere. I've seen it.
I've seen some of those videos, right? Zombie-like people dropping in the streets of allegedly China.
Yeah. So there's lots of fake news out there.
And I think the ultimate thing is, even if you cannot, even if you for some reason cannot verify it, if there is that shred of suspicion that this, whatever you've been sent, is sensationalist or it has been written in a way that plays up on your fears, don't send it. I think that's the ultimate, that should be the ultimate guideline. But at the end of the day, let us know what you think. WhatsApp us 01878988899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a few messages coming up for you, and then we'll be taking a look at taking a look at social media as well as the front pages of the newspapers. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Shakedown Street by Unknown Mortal Orchestra, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Chuang and Shanning. Now, thank you very much for your messages this morning. We've had quite a number of tweets and WhatsApps on the subjects we've been discussing this morning. On the subject of should parking in the city be banned to prevent traffic jams, Sweetron Koo on Twitter has said yes, also have very high charges to drive into the city.
And Iceman 2762, I wonder what that number means. Maybe go out and buy a 4D special number. Need to fix the transport system first. Not integrated enough to travel seamlessly. So why can't we create interchanges at important locations? Yeah, going back to your suggestion, right, Goh Soo Chuang, it's not... You know, if you improve the public transport, then yeah, definitely there should be less cars on the road.
Yeah, Afiq Zambri talking about how existing parking rates should be increased where public transport is available. I think that's a good suggestion. And a very good pedestrian network, number two. New developments nearby, these two should have limited parking, not for banning altogether. I think that's very logical. And it's something that I also have experienced many times. Not enough parking, not enough pedestrian walkways. You want to get to your place, but you can't because you might just not end up getting there. Right?
It's an obstacle race.
Yeah.
You got to go over a pavement which has a motorbike on it,
yep,
and then not fall into the pothole.
Yep, exactly.
And then halfway across the pavement, there's a tree growing across, completely covering the pavement, so you have to step onto the road and navigate the cars.
Avoid the motorbikes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So it's a bit of a difficult situation. And I do think the government is trying to work towards improving our transportation system.
Yeah.
The question is, though, the question does remain over whether or not they're trying to encourage public transport or encourage vehicle usage. That's been a bit of a question mark, just looking at their policy, the policy that they've instituted over the past few months.
Yeah, I mean, one minute they wanted to do away with tolls, and then another minute they want you to take public transport. So, yeah, go figure. But I think the one thing that bugs me the most is the last mile connectivity. I think if you really want people to use public transport more seriously, then you need to address last mile connectivity issues as soon as possible. Otherwise, it's not going to change habits.
Yeah, you only just want to make it convenient for people. And that's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is something that I'm sure everyone loves to talk about, because transport is everyone's favorite topic. We will probably be revisiting this topic sometime soon. But in the meantime, let's take a quick look at the front pages of the newspapers. What do we have?
And related to transport in one way or another is the Straits Times headline, "Coming down hard on drink driving."
I saw that, YB Anthony Loke, and I think that's a good suggestion. Because a lot of people flagrantly ignore those laws.
With serious consequences. Yeah. It's not like you go to Scandinavia, they take this so seriously.
Oh my gosh,
right?
Yeah.
They really have the designated driver.
Yep.
Even the bars and shops monitor people, like, in terms of how much they drink, and they will suggest, can I get you a cab, like that. But here, nothing seems to be taken seriously about it.
Yeah, because it's not even so much that you are endangering yourself. You're endangering other people on the road with you.
Yeah.
So that's always the dilemma. The Star has gone with getting them back home on the front page of their paper, because the Putrajaya have said that they're going to be working with the Chinese government to evacuate Malaysians caught in the Wuhan lockdown. And meanwhile, they have a number of reports on pages 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 20, 22 and 23 on the subject, as well as Malaysians telling talking about what the state of what it is like in the city since the outbreak started.
Well, the same thing for Sinaharian also. They're going through with that evacuation promise with Tun Mahathir on the front page. We've got 78 Malaysians in Wuhan. Actually, the better half asked me this quite interesting question. Why bring them back here and possibly risk infection, contagion, when they should actually be contained in Wuhan and treated in Wuhan? I don't know. I don't know the question. I know the WHO is actually in Hubei province right now.
They can do what Australia does, which is to send them, I think, to Christmas Island and kind of like, you know, kind of isolate them for a while.
Yeah, we've got Pulau Jeraja and Penang, actually.
Even the Americans are sending their citizens, which they've transported back to Alaska. So there are options. I mean, you want to bring them back maybe because you want them to be safe. But of course, you're not going to let them loose, ideally.
Yeah, so our Prime Minister has weighed in on this and said that any returning Malaysians brought home from the coronavirus epicenter in Wuhan, they will be quarantined for 14 days upon their arrival. So no, I think, details yet on where exactly that quarantine is going to be, aside from the fact that there are 26 health ministry facilities providing quarantine care for these returning Malaysians. So looking at the start, that is really all that's on the front few pages of the paper. In terms of the business paper, do we have anything else on their front page?
Well, quite predictably, The Edge is going with a headline on Wuhan, as on the Wuhan virus as well, but saying that investors should keep calm and adjust your books.
Adjust your books to what? I'm curious.
Exactly, right? Cautioning against panic selling as there are some opportunities emerging. Page 3 on The Edge Daily.
I suppose if you are very brave.
I think plantation stocks have been whacked down, right?
Yes.
For example.
Yes. If you really want to be brave, you buy the ones that have been the most whacked down,
yeah,
right? Because then that will also suggest that they have the most upside when things return to the norm.
And then conversely, sell those which you've made. I think CarePlus had, like, was it CarePlus?
Yeah.
70% up on one day. Just crazy.
Or the gloves, right?
Or the glove guys,
have gone up like 30 over percent. But, you know, fortune favors the brave.
Fortune favors
the brave. Easy to say, to buy, but, you know, when the market's drop 10, 20 points every day, you do get into that nervousness.
Do I have time to tell you about this Hong Kong guy I met on the plane a couple months ago?
You do very quickly.
Yeah, mid-50s, used to be a government school teacher in Hong Kong. He made his pile within a short space of 4 years in 2003 when SARS hit the island state, and he just bought everything in sight. And it made him enough in 4 years to retire at 33 years old, right? Move his entire family to Canada and go traveling for the next 22 years. So, fortune does favour the brave.
All right, but right now we are heading into the 7 o'clock news bulletin. And after that, we'll be bringing you the business end of the morning run. So be sure to stay tuned. In the meantime, here's I Want to Be Adored by the Stone Roses, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.